Go ahead and take our Bibles this morning to the book of Revelation, chapter number 4. Revelation, chapter number 4. Revelation, chapter number 4. There's a couple of times in the Bible that the curtains kind of pulled back, and you get to see a little bit of what the throne room is going to look like, or get to see a little bit about what heaven's like. We've looked at Isaiah chapter 6 a number of years ago, and we had called a proper vision, and we talked about how Isaiah, as he saw the Lord high and lifted up, his response was, "Woe is me, for I'm undone, because I am a man of unclean lips." Then as the Lord helps him, or God helps him, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8 says, "I've heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me." This morning, the title of the message is, "Thou art worthy." Or it could be, instead of that, the way we view God will affect how we pray. The way we view God will affect how we live. I think how we see God is really the way that we live our lives. If we say, as Isaiah was, after King Uzziah had passed away, he was a little bit sad, wondering what was going to happen to the nation. He's there, and while there, God gives him the understanding and opens up, and he sees this vision of God high and lifted up, and he realizes, what do I have to be worried about? He sees God for who he is, and he says, you know what, I have problems in my own life, and I'm unclean, I'm undone. God, I need you. And then when he hears God say, who shall I send? Who will go for me? He says, here am I. So this morning, my hope is to try to pull back the veil a little bit of what it's going to look like someday in heaven, and even experience a little bit of what God has intended for us at the beginning, before what I believe is the great tribulation period. And my desire for today is that we would see God, and we would see him high, and we would see him lifted up, and we would say some of the things that Isaiah says. And throughout this, maybe even help our prayer lives. Not 100% sure if we're going to make this into two sermons leading tonight, that's my intention, or we'll get it all done for today. But here in Revelation chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 5, you see there are people that are praising the God, the one sitting on the throne, and there are people who are praising the Lamb in chapter number 5. And as you see this, and you see all the worship, you see all the praise, there's a verse that's found in chapter 4, verse number 11, that says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." So what the Bible's saying there is that there is a group of people who have recognized and said, "God, you are worthy of all praise, all honor, and all glory, and all power." And they worshiped him. And today I believe if we would see him high and lifted up, as Isaiah saw it in Isaiah chapter 6, as Ezekiel saw in Ezekiel chapter number 1, even as was put forth in a way in Daniel chapter 7, and here in John sees as he is writing down these things in John Revelation chapter number 4, we would change the way that we would pray. Not only change the way we pray, I think we change the way we live. This past week, most of you know that we had our kids' crusade, and I miss Monday night. I hate not being here. Most of you know that the week before that, I had tested positive for COVID, and I waited my days, my quarantine, and wore my mask, I believe, the amount of time I was supposed to, because I didn't want to get anybody out sick. I only was really not feeling well for 36 hours. I had a few little symptoms before and a few little symptoms afterwards, but I wasn't too bad. You say, why do you bring that up? Well, I think God was trying to slow me down a little bit so I would take some time to see him high and lifted up. I got the privilege of going with the young people to a youth conference that was over in Kentucky. We went to the youth conference, and instead of going to the amusement park on Thursday, like most of the young people did, we went to see the Ark. And so I was encouraged by that. And we drove all the way back and got there Friday night. Friday night, I had to go out of town to take care of something and didn't come back till Saturday evening. And then I preached all day on Sunday. I preached once again on Monday. And from that time period, when I preached again on Monday at the funeral, it was Monday night that I started feeling really, really tired. Even during the service, my voice started to get a little bit creaky. And then on Tuesday, I took off. I wasn't planning on taking off because we had to plan on getting things ready for our vacation Bible school. And what happens after that, I start feeling better, didn't feel bad, and then it ended up later on testing and getting positive for COVID. And the Lord kind of spoke to my heart one of the days, because I'm stuck in my room for the 5 days, even quarantining from my family, the best we could. The Lord spoke to my heart and said, "How much time have you spent with me recently?" I'd been to the conference, I'd been doing all things throughout the summer, being busy, going to retreat, having junior camp, getting ready for the Kids Crusade, and all those things are happening. All those things are transpiring, and he said, "How much time have you spent with me lately?" Now, I had still read my Bible. I had still prayed, and I came to this passage of Scripture and was studying through it, and the Lord just kind of helped me understand some things and helped me out. I think it was even Saturday night. I didn't get to preach on Sunday. As much as I missed being here for the Kids Crusade, I missed preaching last Sunday too, which I enjoy preaching because I think that's what God's called me to do. And that was that Saturday night when I was trying to go to sleep. I spent some time alone with him, and I went through this passage of Scripture, and the Lord just encouraged me. I know we spend time with him each and every day, hopefully. And we talk about our hour with God, and we've taught about that, and I'm sure in the future we'll teach that again. But with that, I guess spent some time with him, and that verse just stuck out to me. And as I was going through my personal time and my prayer time, it helped me understand some truths that are there. And so today I'd like to bring some of those truths out that I believe will be an encouragement and believe a help to you and be something that I believe can help change your lives. Because as you see God, you see him high and lifted up, it changes everything. It changes the way we think about things. It changes the way we pray because we believe he's able to do all things. It changes the way that we surrender. It changes the way that we praise him. It changes the way that we pray for others. It changes the way that we pray for ourselves. Because we don't see him as some weak God. We see him as a God that can do all things. We've been teaching in our Sunday school class about some of the modern day culture topics and avoiding confusion. And we talked about homosexuality and transgenderism and even the attacks on morality and the attacks on the maker and the attacks on marriage and all these different things. And it can become really disheartening. It can become really discouraging. But if you see God and see him high, you see him lifted up, you see him as a God that reigns and rules supreme, you realize he's in charge. And realize it's our responsibility to be faithful. It's our responsibility to shine as a light. And even though the things of this world might crumble around us, we believe that God is in control. And even as Joseph at the end of his life, he says, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." And we believe things like Romans 8:28 that says, "I believe that all things that work together for good." And we believe that God can take all those things. He can make all those things work together. So this morning, as we look at this passage of Scripture, we could spend a lot of time explaining who the beasts are and who the elders are, but that's not the point of today. Is the point of today is to see how many that is worshiping God the Father and worshiping Jesus Christ. So quickly, we're going to go through Revelation chapter 4, and then quickly, we're going to go through Revelation chapter 5, just looking at the emphasis of how these created beings were worshiping God. And then we're going to bring that hopefully to our lives and compare it and see God for who he is and realize where we have lacked maybe when it comes to our prayer life and our day-to-day life. Let's jump in here in Revelation chapter number 4, verse number 1. It said, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. So if you're not too familiar with the Bible, not too familiar with the book of Revelation, this is John, the Apostle John at this point in time. God is revealing unto him future events. This is a picture, I believe, as the church here is being raptured out and right before the great tribulation. You're going to see here the reason why we believe that in chapter number 5. He sees the things that are happening. Verse number 2, and immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he, now look at the picture. Once again, we're not going to dive into all the meanings, but I guess once you get a glimpse, and maybe it will help you see how high and lifted up God is. And he that sat was to look upon a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight, like unto an emerald. And around about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their head crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind, unlike anything we've ever seen or experienced here on earth. We see these elders, and we're not going to go through explaining who the elders are. Some commentators say it represents the 12 tribes and the 12 apostles. Some say it represents, when it talks about the different representations of the church age, it doesn't matter right this second. But then you see the beasts. What, can you explain those? Well, we can, but we're not going to take time. I just want you to see what this group of people is doing. And the first beast, verse number 7, was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day or night, saying, look at what they're saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. When those beasts give honor, give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying. So I want you to picture what's happening with these 24 elders and these beasts. What they're doing is they're worshiping God continually. And this is how they're worshiping. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Picture continually praising and worshiping. Chapter number 5, and I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within on the backside, sealed with 7 seals, and saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And no man in heaven, nor in earth, nor under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And this is a representation. This is Jesus who has, as it says, has redeemed us by the blood. There are denominations that are trying to take the blood out of the hymn book that doesn't want to preach about the blood. But there is only one way to get to heaven. That's through the blood of Jesus Christ. There's only one way of redemption, and that's the praise. There is no man that could open the book. There is no man on earth or in heaven. There is no one else but Jesus. And look at the new song that was sung. It says in verse number 10, "And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." And look, listen to this. "And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and a number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands." Imagine the multitude, the millions, billions, who knows? I think what gives a representation of the innumerable. I think there will be represented every kindred, every tongue, and every people, and every nation. I think it's there not only the elders and the beasts that are singing, and not only the angels, I believe it's the church is also singing and praising. And it says in verse 12, "Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such are as in the sea, and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 and 20 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever." As I was, I believe it was either last Friday or last Saturday, I believe it was last Saturday night, I sat and read this passage and began to just think. No, I did not have a vision. I did not have some type of new illumination of the Word of God. I spent some time alone with God. Amen. And I had done it before, obviously, but on that night, as I met with him, he reminded me of who he is. He reminded me that he is worthy of worship. He is worthy of praise. He reminded me that he, in verse number 11, that God was the one that created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And as I experienced and saw him lifted up, it reminded me of some wonderful and powerful truths. And as I went through my time of prayer and began to give some consideration there, it reminded me that God is worthy. And you think about that word worthy. It talks about in verse number 11. What does the word worthy mean? It means that he is worthy. It means he's deserving. It means that he's due a reward. And the idea that everything that he receives, all the good things, all the praise, all the honor, all the lifting up that happens, he's worthy of it all. You cannot praise him too much. You cannot love him enough. You cannot surrender too much. You cannot do those things. As you see here, a constant picture of something that is pulled back of these elders that are there, and they're worshiping him and they're praising him. And even says in verse number 10, he says, "And cast their crowns before the throne." And the Bible talks about how we're going to receive a crown someday, or how some of us are going to receive a crown or crowns. And I believe this is an image and it's a picture, and you can argue with me if you want. But I believe that these elders, they have these gold crowns, and they see the recognition they have, and they cast it to God, and they're casting it before God because they realize compared to God, they're nothing. And be compared to us and the things that we may receive and the work that we've done, it's not for ourselves. And even though there might be some recognition, I believe we'll cast those crowns before his feet because we'll realize who he is, that he's high and that he's lifted up, and that he's worthy of all honor. He's worthy of all praise. He's worthy of all power. He's the one that deserves everything that he could ever receive because he's God. And because it says that he created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created, that we live for him and we don't live for others. And it began to help me to see and help me understand that maybe in my life there are some things I'm lacking and there's some things that I could do better. And as I saw him high and lifted up, it reminded me of the fact that I need to surrender to him. As you consider our journey of through prayer, and we talk about, and we've talked about this before, and we've gone through our prayer journey, we've done through the hour of prayer, we talked about it with the Van Gelderens, even a little bit about the different stops in our prayer time to help us. But I tell you, if you really get a good picture of God, you're going to be willing to surrender. If you see him high and lifted up, you're going to be willing to surrender everything. You'll be willing to say, God, I see you. I know you. I understand who you are. I see that you're God. And it's sort of like what Isaiah experienced, what Isaiah went through when he says, "Woe is me, because I am a man of unclean lips." For he says, "For I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And I'm praying that this morning, as some of us will get a revived vision of who God is, and that we would see Him high, and that we would see Him lifted up. And as we see Him up there, we would surrender and say, "He is God. He has made me. He's made all these things. He's worthy of any praise. He's worthy of any honor. He's worthy of any power. He's worthy of it all." And that I would be willing to surrender my life and say, "God, you deserve it." And in Romans chapter 12, it talks about, "I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." If you see Him lifted up, you're going to say, "God, here's my life. It's a living sacrifice. This is reasonable. You made me. You saved me. I've been bought with a price. I'm no longer my own. God, I want to worship you by giving you everything I am. And that's why I'm surrendering to you." And that's when it continues on. "Be not conformed to this world." I'm not going to let this world conform me. I'm not going to let this culture conform me. I'm not going to let this world tell me what I should think about God and how I should speak to God and how I should worship God and how I should praise God. I am not going to let this culture conform me into what I should do. Instead, I'm going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that I may prove what is that perfect and acceptable will of God. It doesn't matter what culture tells me. It doesn't matter what this world tells me. When I see you high and lifted up, I only care about what you think. I only care about what you say I should live. I don't want to let people conform me. I don't want to let the media conform me. I don't want to let social inequity conform how I think and how I view God. I reject those things. I see you. You're who I care about. You're the one I want to hear from. You're the one I want to love, and I surrender myself to you, and I give myself to you, and I'm willing to be what you called me to be. I'm willing to listen to what your word has to say. I don't care as much about what I read as I care about what I read and hear. I don't surrender myself to my flesh and my desires as much as I surrender to what I know about you. And as I surrender myself, then, and I know we've called it waiting on the Lord or listening to the Lord. And as a little side note here, the surrendering that we're talking to is we're talking about the mercies of God. We're not just looking at a God who's created all things and He deserves us, and we should just be some robot and just say, "I'm going to serve you because you're a creator, I'm a creature." No, no, no. We serve a God who is merciful, a God who holds our salvation in His hand, a God who loves us and is compassionate to us, a God who has a perfect and good plan for our life, a God who can take all things and work it together for good. And as you see Him high and lifted up, you realize that He is sovereign, and you realize that even though the world might be going crazy, and even though other people might hurt you and other people might stab you in the back, I can love Him, I can serve Him, I can worship Him because He's God, and He gives me wisdom. He doesn't upbraid me not. He has promised to lead me and direct me. He can work all things together for good. Like Joseph, at the end of his life, he sat there and his brothers were disappointed. They were afraid that Joseph was going to persecute them after their father died. And Joseph said, no. He had a vision of God. He says, "Am I in the place of God?" He says, "I'm not in the place of God. I see God. I know where He's at. He's high. He's lifted up. You may have meant it something evil. You may have meant it something bad. You may have wanted to harm me and hurt me, but God meant it for good. I'm looking past what this world has to offer and the sub things that the world is trying to force and all the different things that the world is trying to make happen and all the games that are happening, all behind the scenes stuff. I'm not worrying about those things. I'm seeing God, and I believe that God is sovereign and that He can take all those things, and no matter how much man's worst plans are, He could take that. He can make it for good." On the day that the devil thought he had his highest day, when he crucified Jesus Christ, the greatest work was done in all of eternity when He died on the cross and He rose again a few days later. I'm surrendered because I see Him as that sovereign God. But if I have a problem seeing Him as that sovereign God, I have a problem surrendering my life. I have problems surrendering my family. I have problems surrendering my talents and surrendering my resources and my time. I struggle with that. Because I don't get a good sight. I don't see him like I should. Do you see him today high and lifted up? Do you see him as a God that is all-powerful and sovereign over all things, that he can take anything in your life and make it work together for good? Because if you see him that way, the only choice, the only reasonable service is surrender. And so if you begin your prayer time like that, it changes the way you pray. The third thing we move into from praising him to seeing God lifted up, and you move into surrender, is that confession part. And I know some people like confession first. I get it. I understand that. But I really know how to confess when I surrender. Because when I'm not surrendered, I don't seem that bad. When I'm not completely surrendered and seeing him high and lifted up, my sin doesn't look so bad to me, because I look better than some of you. I know some of you look better than me. I get it when it comes to our sins. I begin to wonder, and sometimes I sit there and I think about my entertainment and think, should I even be a question? I mean, really, should that even be a question? Should I be watching that or listening to that? Because if I'm not surrendered to God, I can justify a lot of things. I can waste my time doing a lot of things. I can sit there and look at my bitterness and say, I shouldn't have to forgive. But when I see him high and lifted up, who am I to say to God that I shouldn't forgive? If I'm surrendered to him, who am I to say that I shouldn't be faithful? Who am I to say that I don't need to tell somebody else about Jesus Christ? When I see him high and lifted up and surrendered, and if I'm surrendered, I'm asking him, Lord, search me. Like the psalmist said, search me, O Lord. Excuse me, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I'm not just confessing those things that I know I did wrong and know that maybe I didn't pray enough and I didn't read my Bible enough. And I'm not just saying, God, I know I told a lie here, or I had that bad thought here. No, I'm past that. I'm surrendered to God, and I'm focused on him being high and lifted up. And I am just saying, God, I'm like Isaiah, woe is me. I am undone. I am a dirty, rotten sinner, and God, I need you to show me those things I need to do right. Because I'm not surrendered to this world, I'm not surrendered to a man, I'm not surrendered to a thought, I'm not surrendered to a possession or a lust. I'm surrendered to you, God, so will you search me? Will you know me? It says, search me, O God, and know my heart, and know my thoughts. 1 Chronicles 28:9, it talks about, and I believe this is David, he says, for the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. I think he was talking to Solomon there. And he's saying to Solomon, you're not going to get away with anything. He says, not only does he know you, he knows your thoughts. He knows your imaginations. He knows all those things. Allow him to reveal that to you. If you're truly surrendered to him, our confessing time is, God, please help me. I see where I failed, and I'm sorry I disappointed you, God. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to confess it. I want to forsake it. And praise the Lord. He says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And if I see him high and lifted up, and if those 24 elders and those beasts can sit there and say, holy, 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 day and night, and they can say, cast their crowns at his feet, and you see the multitudes that later on when the Lamb comes and unseals the books, that they are there, and it's the thousands upon the 10,000s upon the 10,000s upon the 10,000, and it says every creature in earth and under earth and on the earth and above the earth, they're all praising God, all of them praising the Lord. I need to know what you say is right. I don't need to know what my friend says is right. I don't need to know what the modern day technology tells me is okay. I want to be clean before you. I want to be right in your sight. I've let this world conform me into my thinking long enough. And I want to be holy because you're holy. And I see that. And I believe that. And I confess that to you. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken contrite heart, O God, will thou not despise? And so often what we do in our own hearts and lives, we forget that it's our iniquities that have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. We've forgotten that. And because of that, we let our sins reign in our mortal body, and we don't think it's a big deal because someone else is worse off than us. It's their fault I do it. People say, God's just going to have to accept this about me. Isn't that what a person who says, I don't want to be a boy anymore, just looks at God, hey, I don't care what you think, God. I'm a girl, I don't care what you think. That's what happens. That's what we get upset when a girl says, I want to be a boy now, God, I don't care what you think. And when we regard iniquity in our heart, we're just not seeing him high and lifted up. We are not coming to his throne, a completely surrendered child of God, and say, Lord, show me where I struggle at. We've let the world and our opinions and our family's opinions conform us into believing that we're good and we're okay. But every single time, they were on their face before God, crying, holy, holy, holy. You go back to Isaiah, what is it? On their face. I believe in Ezekiel, on his face. I believe in Daniel, on his face. Why is that? Because he's God. And if we would get a good picture, a good image of who God is, believe me, it would change the way we pray. It would change the way that we confess. We would look in the scriptures and ask God, is there something I need to change? Is there something I need to do? Lord, please search me, O God. Know my heart. It would change the way we pray. You say, what's the big deal? He's worthy. That's what he said at the beginning. He's worthy to receive glory and honor and power. He's worthy of all that. He is worthy for you to say, God, I don't want to be conformed to this world. God, I only want to be conformed to you. God, please show me what those things that disappoint you. Show me those things that I fail you in. Show me those things I need to change in. Show me those things that have become those things that are high and lifted up in my life, that have been there so long, they become stumbling blocks, and I don't even realize they're there. Show me if my attitude makes you sick. Show me if my lukewarmness is something that turns your stomach. Show me God, because I don't see it on my own. But if you see him high and lifted up, you're going to want to say that. They say, Pastor, does God really give us a way to be clean? And the answer is yes, he does. And if you see him high and lifted up, you'll believe it. It changes the way you begin to pray for other things. It changes the spiritual alertness in your mind. If you see him as God and you realize that he has promised us that we are, Ephesians 2, 5, 6 puts it this way, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved, and have raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Colossians 1:13, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Over and over, for far above principality and power and might and dominion and every name is named, not only in this world but also in things to come, and have put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. We've been told that Satan is a defeated foe. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. For the purpose of the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Yeah, the Bible tells us he can cause the devil to flee from us. Pastor, it doesn't feel that way. Pastor, I'm not spiritually alert like that. Pastor, I'm not being led by the Spirit of God. I don't feel like I can have victory over sin. It's because we don't see him high and lifted up. It's because of the fact we don't surrender to him and we don't confess our sins and say, God, show me those things you want me to fix. Because when we see him for who he is, we'll understand that even though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We'll understand that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. When the Bible tells us to take on the whole armor of God, we believe it makes a difference. We believe that sin has no right in us. We believe that the old man is crucified. We believe and we reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. You say, I don't feel that way. It's because of the fact we're not praying by faith. We don't see him as a God that can cause us to help us no longer to sin. We no longer are under condemnation. We are God's temple. And his righteousness we can live in. What does that mean? When's the last time you really saw him high and lifted up? As I said, I meet with God. I try to meet with God every single day. But after a long day, and last Saturday, I had purpose in my heart on Friday. You know what? I'm going to make a good day of Saturday. I wasn't going to watch any TV. Wasn't going to look at any social media. Wasn't going to read anything about sports or news. You know what happened? The world still went by. Nothing changed. Praise the Lord. And I did work a lot of hours that day. That day, I know, I was sitting at home. I know sometimes even when you're at home, as a pastor, you still got to do things. So I spent hours that day. That's the day I texted everyone the responsibilities for Kids Crusade, set things up for all the different things that were happening next week. Spent a lot of hours in that towards the end of the night when I was ready to go to sleep. I even that day had thought to myself, okay, I'm going to be up probably 12 hours. I'm going to try to read 3 chapters of my Bible every single hour. And so I'm not bragging. I'm just trying to get to a point. But at the end of that day, the Lord said, have you really spent that much time with me? And it was at that day I came to that passage and I said, you know what, Lord, you're worth more than that. You deserve more than that. You're worthy, as it says in verse number 11, to receive glory and honor and power. And I spent the day doing a lot of things in your name and did a lot of good things. The Lord spoke to my heart. I read through the book of Acts for the most part that day, some other spots. And he says, you're missing something. And then when I came to those verses, it reminded me that if I would see him the way he belongs, the way he is, if I had the proper vision, it changes everything. I realize, who cares about not watching TV if I get to spend time with the Lord? Who cares? And then I began to think, am I really willing to surrender this or surrender that? But if he's God and he's high and lifted up, doesn't it belong to him anyway? And then I began to see, you know what, there's areas in my life I could do better with Bible memorization, being a better witness, and God brings some things to my heart and my mind. If I'm surrendered, I'm going to see things the way he sees them. I'm not going to see them the way my friend who's probably away from the Lord, hasn't seen the Lord high and lifted up in a long time. I'm not going to see the person that I gossip with the way they look at things. I'm going to see it the way God sees it, and God sees it that I'm undone. He shows me that I really need every day to spend time with him. And every day I need to connect to the power source. And every day I need to abide with him. And every day I need his word. And every day I need his spirit. And every day I need to say no to this world and no to this culture, because he's God and he has told me he will direct me. He's told me he'll transform me by the renewing of his mind. He has told me all those things, and I have the ability to pray. And I think I'm going to stop here. I'm going to go later on. I'm going to continue on tonight, going on to the rest of, I wouldn't say my prayer time, but the things that God helped me with. But boy, it changed the way I claim my promises. It changed the way I pray for myself and pray for others. It changed the things I was thankful for. It changed the way that I would look into his word. I want to encourage you to come back tonight. Once again, I know it's kind of a sermon and a little bit of a testimony, but as the Lord showed me, he gave me this. He says, this is what I want you to tell your people. I know you're God's church, and I know I'm your pastor and your shepherd, but we need to get a good glimpse of God. If we see him high and lifted up, we're going to be willing to surrender. If we see him high and lifted up and we surrender, our confession time is not going to be about just comparing ourselves with someone else. It's going to see him as holy and say, God, I fall short. I'm undone. Show me those things. I don't know them unless you tell me. Reveal those things unto me. And yes, those things we keep short to counsel of. When I sin, I do my best to ask God for forgiveness and confess. Lord, I didn't want to say that. Lord, I didn't want to think that. I don't try to wait till the end of the day to do that because I don't want my whole day, the fellowship, to be broken. I want to walk with him all day. But I come to him in this time and say, God, I don't deserve you. Lord, you're worthy of all glory. You're worthy of all honor. You're worthy of all power. God, you're God. I don't even deserve to talk to you. But I can come into your presence. And I'm so thankful for that. And God, I'm asking you, will you show me those things that disappoint you? And I believe, because I've experienced myself, he tells me. You say, he says, Pastor, now you're talking about seeing visions and hearing voices. No. I'm talking about considering the word of God and God opening up our understanding. And yes, he speaks in that still small voice, but sometimes it sounds like he's yelling to me. You need to fix this. This has been a problem for a while. And if I'm surrendered, okay, it's not a problem anymore. Why, God? They have this problem. It's their fault. Just like we would say, no one's going to be able to say, I've got to heaven because of what I did. No one's going to see God like that and turn around and say, hey, God, you're going to have to accept my good works. What did we talk about Cain a few weeks ago? And Cain was upset because God refused his sacrifice. And there's plenty of people that are doing plenty of things, and they think that this is good enough to get to heaven. And someday I'm going to tell God a thing or two. You're going to fall on your face, and you're going to say, holy, 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 just like everybody else is. That's because they have the right view of him. If we could get that here and now, it will change the way that we pray. Because now when we say God is with us, we believe it. Because we know he's God. He's not going to lie. And when we hate the sin that's in our life, and when we pray and ask for God to give us help, we hate the sin and we want to get it right. We despise it and say, I don't want to deal with this anymore because I see God high and lifted up. And when we think about the problems that we deal with and the people that we deal with, and we feel like nothing will ever change, and when we see him high and lifted up, we realize that he's a God that can change all things. He changed me. He can change you. And it reminds me, I can still pray for that individual. And as I come, and I know this is some of the things we'll look at tonight, but I want to encourage you today. See him high and lifted up. Go home, read these passages again. See in chapter 4 where these 24 elders and these beasts are just saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, he is worthy. We cannot give him enough praise. We cannot give him too much of ourselves. He is deserving of all of it as a reasonable service. And then you go to chapter number 5 and you see that picture when it talks about in verse number 11, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000s of thousands of thousands, just worshiping God. But we like to question whether or not we should even sing his praises. We wonder whether or not he's even worthy for us to show up at church or to tell somebody else about him. It's because we don't see him the way that they saw him. But if we could see him the way they see him today, it changes the way we live. It changes the way we act. Lord, encourage me. I was not very happy with God when I tested positive for COVID, because I didn't feel bad, and I didn't want to get tested. I wanted to do what I, after praying about it, doing what I thought was right, and now I understand why. I needed to stop and spend some time with him, and help me. What I like to say, the last 8 to 10 days of my life have been the completely surrender, and completely this, and completely that. No, I still fail, but I do know that he helped me that night. And he helps me every day that I'm willing to meet with him and willing to see him the way he is. And when I come to the spot and say, you know what, he's worth that. Why do I even question, should I have to give this up? He's God. He's worthy of it all. I'm a living sacrifice. And some people are struggling today because of other people. Get your eyes off other people. See him high and lifted up. Listen to what he has to say. Don't let this world's culture conform you. See him as God and sovereign. Surrender yourself and then confess. God, show me those things. Search me. And those high places in our life, those things that have become those stumbling blocks, he's willing to reveal those. And then I understand when he says, I'm dead to sin. I can yield myself to righteousness or unrighteousness. I can reckon myself dead. I believe those things because it's not about what I can do. It's about what he's able to do through me. It changes how we live when we see him the way he deserves to be seen. Let's pray.